However, it's going to take more than just one choke slam or two or three to defeat Shane McMahon. His passion is such that is in his determination that nothing will stop Shane. Believe me, Shane will fight with every drop of blood in his body. He'll fight with every breath in his body. He'll risk life and limb. And believe me when I tell you, I think Shane happens to be the most formidable opponent Undertaker's ever had at WrestleMania.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from 709 Broadway at Gaming Grounds in Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. That's how you do an intro, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, what's up, guys? It is PWU back on March 23rd. Asa and Dalton are mouthing to each other. Don't know what's going on over there.
Don't worry about it.
I don't worry about anything.
We were talking about Undertaker's most formidable
Stop
opponent.
It.
I know who that is. And we're going to talk about that on the show. We got a lot to cover tonight. We're going to talk about big things. The Hogan settlement is in. That's huge. We're going to talk about that at the top of the show. We're going to talk about the disaster that was Raw, because it was bad. And a couple of news and notes otherwise. Next to me, of course, Dalton Manch.
Yo.
What do we call you on Tanner Thursday that Tanner hated? The Manch himself?
The Manch himself. Oh, and the thing of it is I popped for a second. Like, I had a small moment where, like...
You did. You sounded happy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Manch himself. It's like, oh, I like that one. That was a good one.
Tanner vetoed it, though.
I also side with Tanner in that because it's too close to infringing on the five-star man himself.
The five-star Manch himself?
God, no.
Oh! We can have a show.
No.
We can do a show.
No.
Tanner, if you're listening,
I'm not
going to
do that show.
I'm getting a message from CJ. He wants in on that.
It's the five-star Manch himself.
No.
Hey, down there at the end of the table is the five-star man, Asa Gray. Asa.
Yeah.
Hi.
So excited to talk about
Sorry wrestling. We couldn't do the show last night.
No, I mean, we were both.
Yeah, you were under the weather. I was under the weather. I'm still under the weather. How do you feel?
I'm getting back to normal. I feel like tomorrow will be my first day that I'm back to actually like 100%.
I think I'll be better tomorrow.
Assuming my liver doesn't explode out of my body from the amount of DayQuil and NyQuil that I've been pumping into my system the last 2 days.
I've had so many lozenges today that...
Lozenges?
Cough drops. Lozenges. It's the same thing, right?
No.
Lindsay always calls them lozenges.
She's also wrong.
Aw. Thank God she doesn't listen to Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
I'd tell her to her face. It's not how you say that word.
How do you say bagel?
Anyway.
Oh, we're not doing that bit? Damn it.
How do you say lozenges?
Lozenge.
It's not a lozenger?
It's a lozenge.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I learned something new today. All right, you ready? I was going to yell, turn off your phone, but he's slowly inching the phone away from him. All right,
it's
so we'll
the
let
group
that go.
Chat, yeah.
And to my right, back from her trip to New York City in the big city with the big, big superstars, Allie Hebert, real this time.
Yes, I'm back. It is not Jesse.
It's not Jesse. Which is unfortunate because he's so handsome. He's got that beard.
It's true.
He had so much
fun. I can leave.
No, you're very handsome,
Jesse
too.
Jesse Kimmel's hot as hell.
And you can't teach that. Allie, how was New York?
It was good.
Did you miss the show?
I didn't miss the show.
I know. She kept talking about how she missed the store and the show and all that stuff. And yeah. I thought she was lying, but turns out she's legit. We're glad to have you back.
Too legit to quit.
That guy last week couldn't hold a candle to you. Anyway. He literally knew less about wrestling than you somehow.
Really?
No, he mentioned WCW.
He did. And then for the rest of the time, I think he sat and played Marvel.
He was Lindsay. It's fine. We sometimes
Puzzle Quest.
Sometimes you have to have a Lindsay on the show, and that was him.
Jesse Kimball is Lindsay Wolfgang?
For that one episode.
If my voice sounds weird, I apologize. I am sick again, like Asa said a second ago.
The weather change got us.
I hope so, because this is like the third time in... How long that I have been sick? Last time that happened, I lost my voice completely.
Yeah,
you were
getting there because when I called you about the work, I could tell. Like even that was
last night.
That was at like 7 o'clock, and I was like, "He's not doing the show."
Yeah,
which I was fine with because that meant I got to go home and go to sleep.
It was bad. Like it was real bad. I'm surprised I'm doing this one. I kind of didn't want to, but also I hate missing shows.
Right.
As long
Plus,
as I don't lose
this is a
some fun.
Big week.
It is a lot
so
of...
much. I was looking through, like, because I made the list of, like, topics that we can talk about, and it's so long. So very many things happened on and top of, like, Raw and...
The big stuff?
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into the big thing real quick. I thought we were going to be talking about the Hulk Hogan settlement more. I thought we were going to talk about the trial more,
mm-hmm.
but it only took the jury, was it 6 hours
it was
of deliberation?
Something short.
It didn't take long.
Yeah.
The trial went for 2 weeks. They deliberated. Hogan was, they found in favor of Hulk Hogan, $115 million, which was, what, $15 million more than he had sued for? Mm-hmm. He sued Gawker for $100 million. He got $115 million, and then a day later, they added another $25 million to that.
That was punitive.
Yeah. To $140 million, and from what I understand, when all is said and done, they could be looking at upwards of $500 million to Hulk Hogan. If it's not struck down on appeal. I think it's important to mention
that. Well, and that's also part of the appeal cost is so no matter what happens, if they appeal, the way that the state of Florida goes is they're going to have to put up about $50 million just immediately to even get the appeal going. Because that way it keeps them from taking, like, tying it up in appeals process and then, like, distributing their money elsewhere and being like, oh, well, we can't pay this because suddenly our bank account looks different. Mm. So now they have to flat out put up at least $50 million is, I think, what it said that was going to be, that Hulk Hogan would be guaranteed to get, which very interesting to note that I think, like, 2 years ago, they, said that Gawker is only worth, like, $200 to $300 million.
Yeah. That's a question that somebody had asked me earlier today when they found out we were doing the show tonight, you know, mm-hmm. that they're fans of the show, was that, do you think Gawker is going to go out of business from this?
And I hope so.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they don't, all I can say is I hope they do, because that is one of the trashiest sites. That and Media Takeout. I have a personal vendetta against Media Takeout. It's the worst journalistic site I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's terrible. No, and Gawker's no better.
I meant to send you the video of one of the times when not Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel was filling in for Larry King. They had a segment on Gawker and he just tore them to pieces. There's this poor girl trying to like defend. It's called the Stalker Map. So like if you're in New York, you can be like, oh, I just saw Morgan Freeman eating at a restaurant. So he's going to be there. So like paparazzi and just like crazy people are like able to like kind of follow celebrities around. And right. he just tore down their journalistic integrity, the fact that they don't fact check. He brought up an article they had written about him that was wildly untrue, and she was not expecting it at all, and it was hilarious.
It's part of the reason I never wanted to do mainstream journalism, and I especially don't want to do celebrity journalism, because if there's anything worse than mainstream journalism, it's celebrity journalism, because it is just the trashiest of the trashy. And what happened to Hulk Hogan is a prime example of that. Now, if you like Hulk Hogan or if you don't like Hulk Hogan, the fact remains that he was videotaped without his knowledge, without his consent. It was made public without his consent. I don't care if you hate Hulk Hogan. You have to side with Hulk Hogan in this.
Raises his hand.
Yeah, Asa does not like Hulk Hogan, but you agree that he should have won.
Oh, now, yeah.
I don't know if the money is accurate to what he deserves, but he should have won and Gawker should go out of business.
Yeah, this is a thing that shouldn't have happened to anybody, whether or not you're a complete monster yourself. Yeah. I mean, Hulk Hogan's kind of the Gawker of people, just looking to profit off of other people's misfortune. And yeah, anyway, that's a whole other show.
I think we did that show already.
We might have. I didn't.
I did with Louie.
But yeah, it's very clearly, and especially when the wife said that she didn't know she was taped.
Yeah, so like, it was just the guy taping it, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a couple other nicknames I'd like to call him, but we're trying to keep the show PG.
Yeah. And then also, it's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, you think you can make jokes and be a... There's plenty of room to be a sarcastic ass, like doing a podcast or amongst friends. Not when you're in the middle of a deposition. And then when the judge, or the not the prosecutor, that's the wrong term,
defending prosecutor.
The plaintiff lawyer, Hulk Hogan's lawyers were like,
defense attorney.
Did you say this during your deposition? Oh, well, you know, I don't know if I actually said 4 years old, or do you need it to be read back to you? We can read it back to you. Like, he just tore him down.
He deserved to be torn down.
Yeah, because, you know, you're in the middle of a deposition, you're under oath. That's ridiculous. And also, those guys have to pay a certain amount. Like, the editor and the owner, I think, like, they're both liable for a set number of that $115 million that they have to pay themselves.
Do you think it's fair that Hulk Hogan gets so much more money than someone like Aaron Andrews, the reporter that got videotaped through a keyhole at, I think it was a Marriott? I might be wrong on that, but it was a hotel of some sort.
I don't remember the details of that one.
But they videotaped her through a keyhole, completely nude, and then released that video online. She got $55 million in her case.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying, why did she only get $55 million versus Hulk Hogan getting this double, at least double.
Yeah.
Maybe even triple or more. Do you think it's a sexist thing? Do you think it's a sex issue?
Honestly, that I doubt that that has anything to do with that as much as just Hulk probably had better lawyers.
Yeah.
And you or also, that the jury was more willing to make the decision to have him get paid more.
Because you also have to think that this is also the same sex tape that, in context, ruined Hulk Hogan's career.
That's true.
Like, this isn't, I mean, and don't get me wrong, the Aaron Andrews thing is as malicious, but this ruined Hulk Hogan. Like, it's not just the sex tape. It was the thing after the sex tape that completely ruined him.
Ruined him for now. I don't think any of us have any doubt. No, Hogan will
Even when that happened, we kind of said, like, that's not going to stick.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it's one of those things where it's just like...
And should it stick? Honestly, like, I know you're not a Hogan fan. What he said was absolutely, you know, awful. I've said it. It's awful. But now that the trial is over, I mean, do you think Hogan, not counting what he does now, just looking at the facts of this case, do you think he should still be blacklisted for what he said on that tape 8 years ago?
Yes.
Not for anything else he's done. Just for that.
I'm going to say yes, because it's not the sex tape at that point. It's strictly what he said. And if WWE is really trying to do this be a star thing.
Well, they're not, though. That's the thing.
No, they do it when it's convenient for them.
Yeah, because the Iron Sheik is still on their website. And the Iron Sheik says worse things than Hulk Hogan ever did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that being said, you have to think Iron Sheik was a famous 19-age wrestler. Hulk Hogan was wrestling from 1980 to now.
Well, that's true, but that doesn't change the fact that if you say be a star and we don't tolerate this, that means you don't tolerate
it. Who's going to win the Warrior Award this year?
Yeah, exactly. The Ultimate Warrior, who famously said queerin' don't make the world work, amongst many other things, gets an award named after him.
Heath Ledger's daughter's better now that he's dead, is better off.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
And I'm not okaying any of it. I'm just saying, like, they are going to have to let this stick for a while. Like, this is going to have to be one of those things where Hulk Hogan slightly gets mentioned, and they're like, they're going to have to test the water. And I feel like they did mention him.
And don't get me wrong, too. Like, I do agree with Shannon that, like, the entirety of blacklisting, like, moving everything off of the network, off of the website, like, pretending that he doesn't exist, that's absolutely ridiculous. Because you can't have
too much.
WWE and wrestling in general, like, as much as I hate the man, like, I will never take away his contributions to wrestling as an entity. I think the middle ground is, should he be an employee of WWE? No. You know, you can't have people working for you behaving like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you can't just try to completely erase him.
You can't erase him from history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, put his stuff on the network, put his stuff on the web, put him back on the website, but him just not be an employee.
Well, that's the frustrating thing about it is that, you know, at some point in the near future, I'd say within the year, he'll be back. Hogan will be back in WWE either as an ambassador or whatever, but he will not stay away too long. Now that the case is over and once the smoke settles, he will undoubtedly be back because he'll still need money, because a lot of that money he's getting is going to go right to Linda.
Oh, yeah.
And Nick...
Nick Hogan, the guy that...
What was the kid's name? I don't remember.
It's going to be too hard to remember.
It starts with a G.
The kid that Nick Hogan's
brain
son...
Dead.
Yeah. Crippled for life and...
Yeah.
Hogan wanted to make money off of that.
Yeah, and
dying of fire.
It should absolutely go to that too. It should go to them more so than Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
you know, Allie, I'm going to ask you real quick. Yes. Back to the Aaron Andrews thing. As a woman, do you find a problem with Aaron Andrews getting half of what Hulk Hogan got for a similar situation?
A third of what Hulk Hogan got.
A third, at least half, upwards of a third or more. Do you think it was sexist, or do you think Hulk? What do you think?
I mean,
Does Hogan deserve less or Andrews deserve more?
Well, that's a harder question, but trying to figure out why they got different amounts of money can go into a lot more than just sex. It can go into a lot more than just man versus woman. Because, like Asa said, different lawyers, different jurors. It's completely different people.
Different states, too, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I know next to nothing about the Aaron Andrews thing other than, like, the headlines that I've seen.
I know very little about law.
And I know, and also, too, like, something to keep, like, I mean...
Now, if you want to go toe-to-toe on bird law...
even if you want to just kind of keep in, like, it just the contents of what happened, while they're both gross, terrible invasions of privacy, like, Aaron Andrews was filmed naked, Hulk Hogan had a full-on sex tape made... So, like, on the scale of, you know, does that weigh in to...
Now, and you don't want to pull morality into this, because even though Hogan didn't know what he was doing, he was still sleeping with his best friend's wife, even with the approval of the best friend. And that's what you do between consenting adults.
Yeah,
that's fine. Whatever you want to do, you know, it's up to you. It's whatever. But, you know, if you get morality involved in it, you would say, well, Erin Andrews was simply changing her clothes, was videotaped and put online, whereas Hulk Hogan was in a sexual act with his best friend's wife. You can bring in whatever religious implications,
yeah, but that's
whatever.
Stupid. Don't, it you, is. You can't do that.
But like, some people will.
And those people are stupid.
I agree.
I'm going to go with Asa and that they're stupid.
Well, I think we all agree
just,
on that. But
yeah, just
if,
because
you, if you don't think moral judgment is a thing in America, then you're
no, yeah,
blind.
No, it is. And it's, but again, I will stick by the statement that that's stupid. It's like when the fappening or whatever it was called, whenever all the celebrity nude selfies got leaked. Like, oh, well, they deserved it. They shouldn't have taken those pictures. No, go screw yourself. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's like saying a woman that dresses sexy deserves to be raped.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's not at all true.
No.
And yeah, those people are stupid.
Which is what Gawker would have you believe, probably.
Well, the thing with Gawker, too, is they were condemning anyone who would potentially, like, anyone who looked at or hosted those images. They just, they're like, oh, this is disgusting and a terrible invasion of privacy, and how could you possibly do that? A judge ordered us to take down this Hulk Hogan sex tape that he didn't consent to, but we're not going to.
Yeah.
Hypocrites, lose all your money, go bankrupt.
I hope so, and I hope that's the last we hear of it. I hope Hogan gets his money. I hope Gawker goes out of business. And as much as I love Hulk Hogan, and a lot of people have a misconception of me and Hulk Hogan, I do love Hulk Hogan. I love 1980s Hulk Hogan.
You love the character.
I love the character.
Which apparently, I still say he's absolutely schizophrenic if he doesn't, like, if he actually thinks that, like, he can speak as Hulk Hogan and not receive consequences as Terry Bollea. That's stupid. He's stupid.
I mean,
go kill another company.
I guess I could see it. It's like an actor would say that just because his character says it doesn't mean he would. But at the same time, it's very hard to separate Hulk Hogan from Terry Bollea.
That's like Leonardo DiCaprio on the set of Django Unchained. Very clearly uncomfortable having to deliver some of those lines.
Yeah.
And eventually, I think it was Sam Jackson had to like pull him aside and be like, listen, just do it. Like,
just go full on.
We know. Like, we know this isn't you. You were playing a role. But if he's not in front of a camera
and still doing that
and
role,
he's still trying to do the role, you don't just get to be like, oh, no, it's just no, that's well, that's well, not no, what I say.
I think you're making the assumption that Hulk Hogan is not a method actor.
It doesn't matter if he is or not.
I would ask, have you seen Suburban Commando? Mr. Nanny? Santa with muscles?
I love those movies, by the way.
Was Suburban Commando the one where the guy's throwing the dog into the ocean in the background?
That's Mr. Nanny.
Suburban Commando is the one with Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
And The Undertaker as one of the bounty hunters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And if you ever wanted to see someone look awkward in life, look at The Undertaker.
Well, it's because he's a Time Lord, and he realized down the road in 2016 he was going to face his most formidable opponent.
You know what? Dalton, I'm glad you led us to the promised land down the primrose path. Let's talk about Raw. Asa's got the face going.
Dalton is about to die.
Allie, did you want to see a murder on your first show back?
Before we get into this, we're going to kind of jump way ahead to a segment of Raw that made literally zero sense on any aspect of it. Nothing that happened in that segment should have happened.
Which one?
The Vince McMahon coming out.
Okay. First off, it's important to mention that Raw was in Philly.
Yes.
Now, if you're a wrestling fan, you know Philadelphia, the home of ECW, always a hot crowd.
Yeah.
Except on Raw. That was the quietest crowd I think I have ever heard in my
life.
Which,
going back, and Hunter had mentioned, like, the opening match, the Owens and AJ Styles match, was the crowd was good because they got to see Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rest of the night, that crowd was silent. They were sitting on their hands, like.
And I think none worse than when Vince McMahon came out, because McMahon came out and, I mean, you could see he got a reaction at first.
Right.
He did get a reaction coming out. We watched this live for the first time in
months.
We watched Raw live.
This is the first time I've actually seen it not streaming it on my laptop in years, probably.
Thanks to PlayStation View. $44.99 a month. Start your 10-day trial now on the PlayStation Store.
I did stream the Daniel Bryan's retirement on my laptop, but that's the only time I've ever really watched Raw live.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
And
even that's delayed.
Yeah.
Which, if you're in that wrestling chat group, is awful. Because when I did that, they were posting about it 10 seconds before I saw it.
That's why I have that muted.
Yeah, don't blame you.
But, you know, so Vince McMahon comes out, and he starts talking because that's all he can do now, and he's getting no reaction. And he's frazzled. You can tell. Like, this is a, he's not expecting this silence.
You mentioned it during the promo. You said, look at his eyes.
Oh, yeah. If you go, cause that video is on YouTube, on WWE's YouTube channel. You can go and watch Vince McMahon's big announcement, and his eyes are of a, come on, you, yeah. What are you doing?
Like, he doesn't understand why he's not getting the reaction.
So, two things that are said, one of which made me literally stand up and flip my chair. Which Shane McMahon, it's going to, and it started good. It started so good. It's going to take more than one, two, or three choke slams to keep Shane McMahon down.
Which it's putting over the match. It's putting over Shane McMahon as a tough son of a bitch.
Exactly, which he is. And it, you know, Shane is going to fight with every ounce of, with every drop of blood and breath in his chest. Like, he will not quit. He will never give up. End it there.
Should have stopped.
End it there. Shane McMahon is a formidable opponent. Okay.
No, he said, I have no doubt that Shane McMahon is the most.
He said Shane McMahon is a formidable opponent. In fact, I have no doubt that Shane McMahon, Shane Rabbit Punch, Shufflefoot, here
did
comes
you say
the money.
Rabbit or Rabbi?
I meant to say rabid.
No, he said rabid, as rabid. In like rabies, like raven which rabbits, is, which yeah. actually can do damage.
Oh.
Shane Rabbit Punch McMahon is the most formidable opponent The Undertaker will ever face at WrestleMania. Is the most formidable opponent. The Undertaker. Jimmy Snuka literally killed a person. Brock Lesnar. Brock, the god of violent retribution, Lesnar.
Hold on. We said we were going to do this. I'm going to pull up the list of Undertaker's.
Undertaker's.
Gonzalez lost via DQ because he almost killed him.
All right, here we go. Here I'm not going to tell you who won and lost because it was The Undertaker that won. Here's a list of every Undertaker opponent at WrestleMania. Jimmy Snuka, Jake the Snake Roberts, Giant Gonzalez, King Kong Bundy, Diesel, Psycho Sid, Kane, The Big Boss Man, Triple H, Ric Flair, Big Show, and A-Train.
At the same time!
Kane again, Randy Orton again.
Nathan Jones didn't come in until 8 later, so don't you wave your hand at me.
Mark Henry, Batista... Edge, Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, Triple H two more times, CM Punk,
Brock Lesnar,
and Bray Wyatt.
I can't.
He's more formidable than Bray Wyatt.
Well, right now, I mean, Dora the Explorer is more formidable than him. But I mean, and I get it. We talked about this. They're trying to sell the match because right now in my head, Vince McMahon and company have to be in oh shit mode.
Right.
We have to make people excited about WrestleMania. What's our card? Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker? What was I thinking? All right. Shane is the best opponent ever.
And like you said, like you have to think that Paul Heyman is in the back and he hears that and he's just like,
I have to think a lot. I like to think Shane McMahon is somewhere going, huh, no, no.
I like to think Dean Ambrose is sitting back there being like, nah, I'm about to get my ass kicked.
I like to think Jimmy Snuka is in jail for murder.
So yeah, that's 100% ridiculous and
that
insulting.
Is literally the worst thing I've ever heard on wrestling. And I know that's, you're going to say, Shannon, you're crazy. They've said worse.
Logic wise.
Like, I know that they feed us, and I am sorry for cursing so much when we swore we wouldn't, but I know they feed us so much bullshit week to week. But to tell me that Shane McMahon, the 50, almost, what is he, 50 or close
he's,
to 50?
He's 46. He's the same age as Triple H.
The 46-year-old businessman who hasn't been in wrestling for years, six years at least, is the most formidable opponent that The Undertaker has ever fought. That is the most insulting thing I've ever heard in my life.
And then,
when it comes to wrestling.
Then he follows it up. Cause that's, it might be the dumbest, but it may not be the worst thing that he says in this promo.
Oh God, I think I know where you're going with
that. Yeah, you do. Because, and so he's like, and again, it starts off okay, where he claims Undertaker is Vince McMahon's creation.
His tool of destruction.
He is my tool of destruction. Yeah. And you know what? Shane McMahon, you are right. The Undertaker is my bitch. And so it's like, okay, this is this could have storyline consequences. And he's like, and I hope that The Undertaker wins. Because if he doesn't, if Shane McMahon beats The Undertaker at WrestleMania,
the most formidable opponent,
for control of Monday Night Raw, And as they said earlier in the feud, whoever controls Raw basically controls WWE.
Because he said that Shane would probably fire the authority.
This will be the last time you see me because Shane will fire me. Right. Shane will fire the authority.
Yeah.
So if Undertaker loses and Shane McMahon wins, it will be the Undertaker's last WrestleMania ever. How are you going to enforce that?
Contract.
No. That's no, okay.
Big Show, ironclad contract.
Yeah,
Big Show's the only one that has that.
Well, he doesn't because they fired him.
And that's not no. It's like, okay, I'll be fired if I lose this match. Shane McMahon can't just be like, okay, so the Undertaker's the hottest free agent in professional wrestling right now. I'd better sign him. No, that's not how this works. You don't get to fire the person and then you immediately get fired.
And not only that, but if they don't have a follow up on Raw next week where the Undertaker decimates Vince McMahon for calling him his bitch. I've already given up. I will give up twice. I will not pass go.
You'll give up, you'll watch again, and then you'll stop immediately after that.
I'll write two tweets about how disappointed I am. Because it doesn't make any sense. The Undertaker is the ultimate wrestling badass. And I don't mean just from a character standpoint. He is the most respected person in the locker room of any wrestling company.
100%.
Yeah.
For Vince McMahon to come out there and say he's my bitch, and the Undertaker to not give him reparations. Clearly, Vince McMahon's ego has gotten the better of him.
Vince knew he wasn't there that night, and he doesn't watch the show. So
who would? We only watch it because of this show.
That's very true. I wanted to go home. I didn't. I still did. I didn't feel good Monday. I wanted to go home. You're like, no,
Asa, watch it live.
Come sit and watch it with me. It'll
be
fun.
We got 2 weeks till WrestleMania. Let's see what happens.
Surely the last image isn't just going to be Dean Ambrose talking to Paul Heyman. That's not how they'd end a show. I can't.
Before we switch over to that, I think it's important to mention my favorite part of the Vince McMahon promo was when he threw the microphone.
Oh, yeah. So at the very end, I think that's when I said, look at this man's eyes.
Yeah.
Because he makes that announcement, which
no one responds.
You can tell he's really frazzled. Because I have to assume that Philly's like, fuck this guy.
And the way he spoke, he had no excitement.
No, yeah.
It's like he didn't care.
Because, I think it was the crowd. I think the crowd shook him.
Took him out of
it. He was not expecting that kind of reaction. Like, he's fine with being booed. He's fine with getting cheered. But that apathy
That's always been his thing, is like, as long as you're getting a reaction, which he wasn't getting.
That's wrestling. Yeah.
And so, boo or cheer. So he kind of not stumbles his way because it was delivered okay, but it almost felt rushed at the end. Yeah. So he drops the bomb that Undertaker will be fired.
No response.
There's
about a 5 second delay as he looks around, and then they play No Chance. When they played No Chance, I thought someone else was coming out.
Yeah.
For the segment. Once I realized the segment was over.
And he turned and tosses the microphone.
Threw the microphone. I bet he went backstage and was just screaming mad.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in Gorilla.
No.
Right then.
And I can't blame that crowd. I hate apathetic wrestling crowds because the crowd can really make or break a show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The energy is what you feed off of. But what they were trying to feed us was so insulting, and it's so egotistical that it makes me not want to watch WrestleMania. But I will because I'm an old school wrestling fan.
And also, you know, the WrestleMania crowd is always going to be.
They might be the only crowd that cheers Roman Reigns when he wins.
I don't think.
Maybe.
No.
They'd be the best shot they have.
WrestleMania crowd? No. They were booing. No. Lesnar was full heel against.
Well, that's true.
But they were booing him, but after they Reigns took that beating, they started turning, and then Seth Rollins came out, and then they lost their mind.
I wish I could remember who said it, but it was some wrestling legend, I think, said that the crowd automatically, just out of natural reaction, hears Roman Reigns' music, and they cheer. They realize who it is, and then they start booing.
I think for some reason, the first thing they think is, oh, Shield's back? Oh.
Yeah. We like them.
Never mind. I can't remember even what happened on the rest of Raw. Like, that's all I can remember was just the Vince McMahon segment.
There was the...
Oh, no, I do remember another one. When heel Roman Reigns attacked Triple H as he tried to defend his wife.
Yeah. And his wife screamed for help.
Yeah.
That was another time that the crowd could have really made the segment. Whenever, like, the car is there and the garage door is slowly opening and you just see Roman Reigns standing there.
Should have been a badass moment.
If it would have been Dean Ambrose, that place would have come unglued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was Roman Reigns, and it was silent.
Or imagine... I know this would never happen, but imagine if it had been Seth Rollins.
Right.
The crowd would have woken them up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't. It was Roman Reigns. The door took about 40 seconds to raise.
Right.
Yeah.
Which and was awkward.
And it's that the bad amount of Barrett.
It's one of those, like, it's one of those, like, wrestling logic things. Excuse me. in that in the time that it takes for that door to open, and not only for the door to open, and Roman Reigns is standing there the entire time. The entire time he's just standing there.
Yeah.
And then for the time it took for him to walk to the car, no one's going to lock a door.
Yeah.
Or drive off.
Or drive off, or just like, you know, pretend you're Rikishi. Just go. Like,
he did it for The Rock's cousin.
Oh, I don't know.
He did
that.
It to
no.
The Rock's cousin.
No, no, the Usos are there is his son. We're not going to, they're going to do that. Shut up, guys.
Speaking of the Usos, if anybody got booed louder than Roman Reigns that night, it was the Usos.
Yeah, they did not get received.
Apparently, The Rock's family in general now is just off limits when it comes to cheers.
Which isn't fair because the Usos are actually really good.
The Usos are good, but I think the backlash from Roman Reigns, the only one it hasn't affected is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Because the crowd loves Dean Ambrose. When you are the Dudley Boys and you can't get a reaction in Philly.
In Philly! That was something you pointed out too. Cause the Dudley Boys, they didn't get booed. They didn't get cheered.
They didn't get anything.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah. Home of ECW. And the hometown boys didn't get a reaction. The only reaction they got was when they went for the table.
Yeah.
And then when the Usos flipped it and got the tables instead, they got booed.
Yeah. And they also got booed really hard whenever the Dudleys got away. Cause they at least wanted to see someone go through a table.
Yeah.
Which I guess is going to be the Mania moment. Because that's a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, next week we're obviously going to have our big WrestleMania preview.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to be the one-year anniversary of Podzilla 1985, which is also fantastic. And we'll talk about that match, because that absolutely, of all the matches that belong on WrestleMania, is not one.
Pre-show.
Absolutely pre-show. But they'll probably also have an R-Truth Goldust match on there somewhere. Hopefully, they do something with this stupid angle, which they continued on Raw when Goldust came out to save R-Truth from Bubba Ray Dudley and got beat up. What is the point of this?
I don't know.
I think
bring Freddie Prinze Jr. back. Raise Patrice O'Neal from the dead and put him back on the team.
And
he died.
I know.
I loved him, too.
Yeah, he was great.
He was great.
And we don't necessarily have to hit beat for beat what all happened on Raw, but there were a couple other things that I did want to talk about.
What you got?
Because they were actually the two highlights of Raw for me. The first one being, oh my God, my brain just completely shut off on me.
Was it the IC title?
Well, the IC title, but Dean Ambrose in the bar talking to Chainsaw Charlie, who then gives him an actual chainsaw. And the bar patrons are like in the background pretending to have conversations, and then just like a chainsaw gets started.
Like, why is Terry? Why is Terry Funk just carrying a chainsaw around?
Because it's Chainsaw Charlie.
It has to be that same bar that APA went to all the time. Maybe. All those bar fights. So
like, is it Tim White's bar?
That's not Wise. I don't advise that, Mr. White. I will say
the Friendly Tap.
Someone,
I love that place.
Someone put it on Reddit, and I was like, oh, that's such a good idea. Especially in Philadelphia, because that was where you should have done it. Have Sandman give him a kendo stick.
Well, that would make more sense than getting a chainsaw, because I don't think a chainsaw is going to be used against Brock Lesnar.
Have you seen Brock Lesnar?
I don't know. He's probably just like, I mean, if you just get me like right here, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with like Janice in TNA, Abyss's baseball bat that has spikes driven through it that he always.
Wait, did they just rip that off from Walking Dead?
I mean, they've been doing this for years.
That's baseball bat with barbed wire around it. Okay. That's Lucille, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's been named Janice
Jeffrey
for
Dean
a while.
Morgan.
But yeah, the other thing is Kevin Owens talking to Stephanie, like sweet talking her, tell Hunter I said hi. Because Kevin Owens is a national treasure.
Before he was emasculated by Stephanie.
Yeah.
Later. I mean, he had one positive interaction. and so he's like, you know, and it made sense because he's like, okay, The Miz, Sami Zayn, and Dolph Ziggler all want a shot at my Intercontinental Championship. Well, at KO Mania, I'll defend my title. Whoever wins a triple threat between you three tonight. And then he goes and he gets it cleared with Stephanie. He like asks for permission
to set up a match.
To set up a match,
which
makes
is important
so much
to know.
Sense. Yeah, he's like, I want to let me make this triple threat match.
Yeah.
Okay. So then he comes out. He kicks Lillian Garcia out of the ring, and he wants to do the introductions. So he starts with, now this man is a star in his own mind. Bright things are coming in his future. Ladies and gentlemen, Stardust. Okay, this next man has wrestled all over the world. You know, he's really famous for being in a mask most of his career. Please welcome Sin Cara. And now, finally, this man, he's been with the WWE for years. He's toiled and toiled, and he believes he deserves more than what he's been given. And he's going to take every chance to take what he feels he earns.
And he dresses like a teenager, even though he's a 30-year-old.
And as a 30-year-old, he dresses like a teenager. Ladies and gentlemen, Zack Ryder.
Also, I want to note just real quick that segment would have been better if the crowd was reacting.
But they weren't.
They weren't. Yeah. But I read that the only one that they cared about was Zack Ryder.
And it's true, because... Yeah. That's like the surprise return.
Somehow, yeah, Zack Ryder's still getting the pops.
Because he's Zack Ryder. That's why.
You know it.
So I loved how it's, you know, the three guys you're expecting, but he does the intro to make it seem like it's going to fit.
It was clever.
It was so good. Like, that was so well done.
Yeah.
And then, of course, cluster cluck.
Well, someone pointed out, if Kevin Owens attacked Zack Ryder, wouldn't that mean Zack Ryder won by DQ?
But triple threat matches don't have disqualifications.
Yeah. It's just a no contest.
Well, they did, though.
It's, yeah.
It becomes a no contest.
That's like in all those videos I would watch for Botchamania, when the TNA hardcore matches would have a DQ.
Yeah.
What?
Or it's like when they break the submission hold in a cage match, because he's got to the rope. No.
That's not how that works.
I think my favorite match.
The ref starts counting.
This is just come almost off topic, but go watch. It was, what was the man that's made of leather? He looks like a bag.
Hulk Hogan?
No, the other one. The one that also hates women. Greg the Hammer Valentine. He had a submissions match with, I forget who the other wrestler was, but each of them went for pins every minute. And the ref kept going, there's no pins. This is a submission match. But they kept doing it. It was glorious.
But yes, it's one of those things where they could have addressed it better. Like, the referee has lost, especially when Ziggler and Zayn and Miz all came out to confront Owens, who was doing commentary.
Yeah.
Like, it could have just been, well, the referee has lost control of the match, no contest.
Do you kind of feel like Raw as a whole felt like they didn't care? Like, about halfway through it, when they realized the crowd wasn't going to react, they just went into neutral. They were just like, all right, coast. Like, they didn't put the effort into it that they normally do.
And New Day didn't get the reaction that they usually get. Like,
nobody got a reaction. Like, Dean Ambrose kind of got a reaction. Zack Ryder kind of got a reaction. But compared to other crowds, like, it was dead silent. It was uncomfortable.
That's kind of on WWE, though.
Oh, it's absolutely
no. Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those things where like people were like that whatever website was complaining because Enzo and Cass didn't get a reaction in Cape that we talked about after the live show. It's like, well, no, these are the fans. Like, this is what the fans cheered and booed, like what WWE presented to them.
Yeah,
you know, that's all that they know. You can't really fault the fans' reaction for not, you know. Don't get me wrong. Like, everyone in that the IC title scene deserves reactions. Like, the Dudley Boys deserve reactions.
Everybody on the show, every performer deserves a reaction.
Absolutely.
Like, even guys like Ryback or guys like, I don't know, people, Braun Strowman, I'm not a big fan of, but they still go out there and bust their ass. I don't hate him.
No. I'm like, it just, that reminded me of that main event where how, you know, you're supposed to be building up Dean Ambrose, which kudos to Paul Heyman too. I know this is going to be a shock for me to say, but how good was he on commentary? Because the announcers kept trying to say, like, oh, so, you know, look at Dean Ambrose. He's really taking it to Braun Strowman. Do you think Brock Lesnar's watching this? And like, maybe I'm in over my head. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Brock Lesnar and Heyman is defending Ambrose to the announcers. He's actively saying that Brock Lesnar understands how dangerous Dean Ambrose is.
Yeah.
He's not taking this match lightly. He's not taking him lightly as a competitor. He is looking like he knows he's in for a fight. He's just excited for the fight.
Yeah. Because Lesnar loves to fight.
Because it seemed like the announcers were almost trying to be like, oh, well, Brock Lesnar's underestimating him because look at him. It's just Dean Ambrose. And Paul Heyman's there like boosting him so much.
Which, it's good that the commentary was so good because the main event was awful.
Yeah.
Just got awful. It's slow and plodding.
I feel like that was also a conscious choice by someone backstage because they're still trying to keep Strowman strong.
Which is fine because Strowman looks like $1 million.
No, yeah.
I mean, well, except the face. He just looks too young.
It's
he does.
Snapchat filter where you zoom. Yeah. It shrinks the face.
Sorry, Braun.
But he, also, just a quick mention, you probably heard about it if you're a wrestling fan, if you check the dirt sheets, Braun Strowman was attacked by a fan after Raw, in the dark match. Fan grabbed him and either hit him or scratched him or something.
Mm-hmm. It looked like it was a face rake, is what it looked like. He looked like he went old school Ric Flair on him.
Yeah. And if you're a fan, and I saw the guy looked about like Cat Williams size. Cat Williams knows from experience.
So he got screwed by a seventh grader.
But the last person you would want to hit is Braun Strowman.
Right. It's kind of like, though, anytime you, like, in a lot of old wrestlers' books, not old wrestlers, but like William Regal, Goldust, like a little bit like before the whole cave, like real life, like it's a show kind of dropped off. Anytime they would go to bars, there would always be someone wanting to pick a fight to prove, oh, well, you can't really be that tough. What you do is fake.
Yeah.
I guess that has to be that mentality, is I'm going to go for the biggest guy there is.
But Braun Strowman.
If you're going to attack somebody, go after Rowan. He's not as big.
What is your... speaking of after the match, too... Luke Harper is apparently down.
I just want to say kudos to Braun Strowman for not knocking the guys at all.
For not ripping the guy in half.
He walked off and like pointed at the guy and told security... He was like, I'm not dealing with... This is your job to deal with it. I'm not going to get in this.
And it absolutely should be. Like, the fact that that even happened.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's hard to... It's going to be hard to get every fan to not touch the wrestler.
Right.
But it's good that Strowman didn't take it into his own hands.
Absolutely.
Because first he would have murdered the guy.
100%.
And that guy should be thankful. I know they're going to press charges against him because WWE is very against that. You remember that big string of wrestler-fan interactions last year? Yeah. Thank God that stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah... That guy is lucky Braun Strowman didn't murder him.
Yeah.
While Strowman was taking care of the stupid fan,
mm-hmm.
over on the other side, you saw Luke Harper down on the ground, apparently injured, maybe, is the report.
Someone on Reddit posted that he had, like, saw him and someone else at the gym, and he said it was a torn ACL. But that is a huge grain of salt, completely unconfirmed.
I think the guy looked a lot like Daniel Bryan. a guy that
looked like Luke Harper, and he was limping. Yeah. He had a limp.
On a plane.
Which is a huge bummer. Although, going back to what we talked about the other day, apparently Dave Meltzer said that there are plans to make Bray Wyatt is going to end up being the number one heel in the company next year.
And there's equal parts of me that believe that and don't.
Which it's like, yeah, because it's, you know, they clearly think that they can handle all these losses. But wouldn't it be so, like, if, say, this time next year, WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt is either fighting for the championship or is the champion, don't you think that we would all be looking back more fondly if he hadn't just gotten beat in a six-man tag by Ryback, Kane, and Big Show? Or had won any feud?
Yeah.
This year?
Imagine if he went on a year tear of beating people and terrorizing them.
Almost like if he had consumed the soul.
If he could get the soul of someone
like some sort of supernatural, like Tyler. What's Abyss was in WWE?
Yeah, like an Abyss style wrestler. Like,
it's a shame that Mankind isn't in WWE anymore, because that'd be the perfect soul. Like, there's no other soul that's greater than Mankind.
What about the man from the dark side? The Boogeyman. He's coming to get you.
Fifth member of the Wyatt family.
But if Luke Harper is injured, I just want to say that I am very upset about that, because Luke Harper is my favorite member of the Wyatt family, other than Bray Wyatt himself, mm-hmm. who I've really come to appreciate.
Yeah.
Because when it first started, I got it, but I didn't like it.
Right.
I thought that Bray Wyatt just spouted off a bunch of nonsense, and then everybody was like, oh, he's so great. But over time, I've really come to appreciate every little thing he does.
Everything about his character is...
Everything is so intricate. It's so... He stylizes everything to that character. He lives that gimmick when he's on TV.
And it's really easy to give him the credit that he deserves for that, because of the way his character is so outlandish, and there are so many different little nuances that he can put into it. But I will say the exact same thing about The Miz.
Yeah.
The Miz is one of, if not the greatest characters, and like, it's just so perfect. Everything that he does as The Miz is wonderful.
That is the difference between a guy, everyone always says, Shannon, why are you so hard on Dolph Ziggler? The difference to me of a guy like Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz or Bray Wyatt is, you know who Bray Wyatt and The Miz are. They have characters that they live out. Dolph Ziggler really comes across as himself, but he has a personality, but he doesn't really have – he's not a Miz. He's not a Bray Wyatt.
To me, and I know we always end up in the Dolph Ziggler debate, because I'm one of his biggest supporters.
I know.
But it's one of those things where his thing really is like how Kevin Owens said, like, he's a guy who's been with the company for so long and deserves so much better, and he knows it.
Yeah.
So every time he goes out there, he really is the showstopper. He's the show stealer.
He speaks more with his actions in the ring than he does with
his character.
He's
going to steal the show and your girl.
It's on
his t-shirt. Everyone's girl. Oh. All our girl.
All the girls.
I know. I like my girl. I don't want her to go to Dolph Ziggler. Maybe Tyler Breeze.
Maybe. What if they still hung out here?
Who?
Dolph Ziggler. Like, she still
hangs
out.
I would
out,
sacrifice but... Allie if Dolph Ziggler started hanging out here.
If she starts dating Dolph Ziggler and he hangs out, yeah. I don't want to take that sacrifice.
That's well, fine.
You're outvoted.
Unless I get Summer Rae.
You don't want that.
Why?
I don't know. I don't
like I was going to say, defend that statement.
So, the
yeah.
Miz.
I'm gonna go after you.
Let's go back to the Miz.
He's so just... good.
He's
the no, well, we're going to have to go back to Braun Strowman getting hit. Or do you have a point to make about the Miz?
No, she
was just changing the topic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because it sounded like there was a point to be made. All right.
Oh,
so.
There's a point to be made when Summer Rae comes in.
I get it.
I do
okay,
too, yeah.
So Braun Strowman, whatever we're going to talk about.
I'm trying to think of it. I had other stuff pulled up from Raw that happened.
I'm looking down the roster right now just in my head, and I'm just like, none of these guys have a WrestleMania match.
Oh, yeah. You mean like Bray Wyatt?
And, kind of, well, and going back, yeah, like, the Wyatts are completely off the card. Other than, you have to assume that
the Andre Battle Royal.
Yeah.
And that's the terrible thing about WrestleMania. It's like, let's just take all the people we couldn't think of ideas for. Like, the Wyatt family. You can't think of an idea for Bray Wyatt? Let's just throw him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Which, if he's in it, honestly, there's a good chance he'll win it.
Oh, you know what a great idea would have been with Bray Wyatt? If they would have had him feuding with Kalisto instead of Ryback. Because then that would have you could have done an interesting story with that.
I don't know. I would have.
I'll give credit where it's due. The Ryback Kalisto story is not the worst thing that they could be doing. Honestly, like I'm legitimately excited that at least one of the second tier championships.
No, blow money. Stop it.
one of the second tier championships is actually being defended in a 1-on-1 match. Because
and it's a good David versus Goliath story.
Yeah, and also WrestleMania has always kind of, especially the last like 5 to 6 years, it's really kind of been a, how can we get everyone, as many people on the card as possible?
Yeah.
So you have like that, that's where the Money in the Bank came in.
That's where that sweet Lana 6-man tag match is coming in.
The Divas multi-person match, the, Andre the Giant Battle Royal. But it's like, it's, and as excited as I am, I honestly think that Intercontinental Championship ladder match is going to 100% be the match of the night.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
And you know what's really sad? It's an off topic thing. Sort of, is that before the invention of the network, when there was pay-per-views, everyone that appeared on a pay-per-view got a pay-per-view bonus.
Yeah.
So when you have all these guys appearing on the show, they don't get those bonuses anymore. So here you have all of these guys not getting a bonus because of the network, because it's on the network. That's kind of sad.
A little bit.
Like, a guy like Zack Ryder or Kalisto could get extra money for this. You know, Zack Ryder doesn't make a lot of money anymore. He can't. Not with the way they treat him.
I would gladly trade places with Zack Ryder.
I would trade places with anyone on the team. Anyone.
But so, yeah. Oh, speaking of Zack Ryder, real quick, SmackDown spoiler. It ends with a there's like a tag match between some of the Intercontinental Championship participants. And the way SmackDown goes off the air, apparently, is Zack Ryder taking out Kevin Owens with a Rough Rider and standing tall.
With the title?
L.I.
Oh.
Pointing to the WrestleMania sign.
So he's not going to win
which,
that championship.
Which I guess is a really fortunate, I mean, not fortunate, but because it clearly it was supposed to be Neville.
Yeah.
Was going to be in that spot.
This is Zack Ryder's chance.
And this is, this really is, you know, he can grab that brass ring again after he grabbed it, wore it, got it fitted, and then was asked very not
and then
polite,
John Cena
was
said,
asked,
"Can I have that?"
Was asked unceremoniously to return it back to where he found it because he wasn't who they wanted to grab it.
The first time I saw somebody point to that damn WrestleMania sign, I thought, what a cool moment. Now everybody does. The goddamn janitor points at it.
I think the like,
I mean, I would.
I would once and get a picture of it, sure. You know, obviously.
I think that was like one of CM Punk's...
My profile picture is still me and Xavier Woods. It's not changing for a while.
I think one of CM Punk's last tweets as a WWE superstar was, drinking game for Royal Rumble. How many are you take a drink anytime somebody points to the WrestleMania sign?
Yeah, he did. He pointed that out.
Yeah.
We got about 13 minutes left. We got a lot of news and notes here
Dear
to talk
Lord.
About. Yeah, let's skip.
We stuttered.
Let's Raw. Skip the rest of Raw because go watch it for yourself.
That really was all that. I'm pretty sure that was really all that was.
Go watch the train wreck that was Raw.
Watch Raw the way Dalton watches Raw. The next
Not at
day,
all.
YouTube it.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube the beats. That's all you need.
Watch Vince McMahon lose his mind.
Yeah.
It was announced.
What?
I almost said it was announced Darth Vader's going to induct Stan Henson. Oh, that'd be great.
Get me excited for the
Vader. Big Van Vader is going to induct Stan Henson, which is cool. I love Vader, and I love Stan Henson. But better than that is that the New Day is going to induct the... the Fabulous Freebirds.
And how mad is Michael Hayes?
Well, not at all. He's more of that than Mark Henry was. So.
God. The
Allie, which... the Fabulous Freebirds.
Yes.
Are a racist tag team from the South.
Whenever Michael when Michael P.S. Hayes came out for the gimmick Battle Royal at WrestleMania a few years ago, he had a glittery, glowing Confederate flag cape.
Yeah. Well, that's heritage.
Stop it.
Not hate.
Stop it.
And who's better to induct these Southern boys than the New Day?
Okay. Which, and I get why they're doing it, because they're the current tag team champions.
And they use the Freebird rule. Which Dalton was about to make that point.
Oh, I was going to...
Because it's so obvious, and he thought Dalton he figured something out.
No. It was going to be the awesome, like, Dalton explained something to Allie, which is a bit we used to do, but no.
We don't have time for it.
We don't have time for that bit. It would take a while to explain something to her.
All right, anyway, go ahead.
That didn't come out. That didn't come out right.
Yeah, so that's why they're doing it, which is cool. I get it, you know, and it's neat.
And I'm sure, jokes aside, I'm sure the Freebirds really don't mind that the New Day is inducting them.
Right.
I don't think Michael P.S. Hayes is racist.
Per se.
I do.
You know, he only managed Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys. There was never no black tag teams he was judging or managing around that time.
Because there weren't really any black tag teams.
Other than the Nation of Domination?
No, they weren't around at that time. I'm thinking.
What do you think?
The Dudleys had a black guy in it.
Yeah, APA had a black guy in it. Michael P.S. says it wasn't helping them.
APA didn't need help.
No, that's very true.
They didn't need anybody. Speaking of tag teams, though, Kurt Angle wants the American Alpha
to be the Kurt Angle.
To be. I thought that said take.
No,
Kurt Angle wants American Alpha take Teen Angle 2.
Because I told you
the notes, and
because Asa has the worst handwriting on the planet, and I told you you should rewrite it.
No, I don't want to. So he wants the American Alpha, which is
he did an interview, which is Gable and Jordan.
Yes,
in NXT, and he wants to, because he said he knows he can't do a full time schedule anymore. So it would be great for him to kind of manage these guys. Let it be Team Angle again, and then for the big, which this is the part I had a problem with. But then for the big matches, he would wrestle.
Oh, of course.
So like build up to SummerSlam or WrestleMania, then that would be the Kurt Angle match.
Because Kurt Angle desperately wants back in WWE
so badly.
You can tell
so badly.
I think he has less of a chance of going back than Hogan.
I disagree with that.
You think Angle go in first?
He has to have one or two good more matches in him.
Oh, he absolutely would.
Oh, I think he'll retire in WWE. Like he's retired from TNA.
Yeah, but so many times he could have gone back to WWE, and they didn't want him.
Yeah.
Like, Triple H refused to meet with him.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, with Hogan, it's not that they didn't want him. He just gave him no choice.
I still have to think that... Because Kurt Angle was so good. Like, even now, when you think about how Kurt Angle was in TNA longer than he was in WWE... Like,
that's scary.
Yeah. Right?
That's scary to think about. So, Sami Callihan's going to Lucha Underground. I didn't know that.
That's exciting.
For season 3.
Which is good. Sami Callihan played...
Solomon Crowe,
which is one of my favorite names. Mm-hmm. And he had an awesome gimmick. Too bad they didn't do anything with
it.
Yeah.
Sylvester LaFour and Marcus Lewis going to TNA.
Yep.
Which is cool. Former NXT guys, right?
Yep.
Which is important because I read this. You got this written down. Bobby Roode and Eric Young leaving TNA. They're done.
Yeah. They both announced and TNA confirmed that after this last set of tapings that took place over the weekend, they are no longer with the company.
So imagine how close we came to having beer money in NXT. Yeah.
Which I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. Bobby Roode absolutely had, like, his gimmick in TNA is the it factor, and it fits 100%. You know, the dirty heels could reunite in TNA or in NXT.
Yeah.
Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, are you kidding me? Yes. Bobby Roode is amazing. I'm a huge fan of him.
Yeah.
Eric Young.
One of the most underrated.
Yeah. He is a guy, TNA could have had a new Chris Jericho. He could have been TNA's Chris Jericho if they ever would have given him any sort of a chance.
And instead, they made him scared of his own fireworks.
Which was amazing.
It was a funny gimmick.
Like, and because he was such a versatile person. Like, we talked last week about how Chris Jericho can go from conniving, whiny heel to
badass.
All-time great face to, like, he can play so many different characters. Eric Young was legitimately the scaredy cat underdog to a superhero to
tag team with, ODB.
Yeah.
When they were tag champs.
To a menacing, like, foreign, like, legit stable leader.
Yeah, he came across... What stable was it? I'm trying to remember the
World
name.
World Elite.
World Elite?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he...
League of Nations.
He did everything so well, and he's such an odd-looking person. I know that sounds weird, but like he just looks odd. And
I think that's by choice because he, like the way, especially now how he looks, because he's almost like, he's like a cross between when James Storm was a heel before he left TNA the first time and Bray Wyatt now.
Yeah.
He's just like this unhinged, violent person, and it's awesome.
The strange thing about Eric Young to me is his voice.
Yeah.
He has the deepest, graveliest voice I've ever heard in my life.
And it's amazing. It's almost like the Alec Baldwin and 30 Rock thing, because that's not how he normally sounds. That's just how he can, like, he just puts that on voice for his character now. Yeah, so.
Who do you think is a better sign for NXT or WWE? Eric Young or Bobby Roode?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, Honestly,
just longevity-wise, Bobby Roode.
I think Roode, longevity-wise, is a good point. But I think Eric Young.
Why do you think that he has more longevity than Eric Young? Because they both came in TNA about the same time. They're about the same age.
I base this only on the fact that I feel like I saw Eric Young in there longer, and I'm probably wrong. But I remember Eric Young being established when I thought Bobby Roode came in, so that's probably just my memory being bad.
I'm remembering Eric Young from Team Canada.
Which is also where Robert Roode got his debut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, okay. I don't even remember that.
It could just be the look. Like, I'm not shitting on Eric Young at all. Mm-hmm. Eric Young, fantastic wrestler. I'm taking nothing from him. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is Bobby Roode definitely has more of that look of, like, he looks like a younger dude. He has that kind of smarmy, Rick Rude-ish kind of look to him. Eric Young does kind of look like a goober from time to time, depending on how he's wearing his hair.
Which, I mean, but that's also pretty much every character that he's had to do.
Team him up with Enzo.
No.
Enzo and Eric Young.
I got really excited. I don't want that.
But yeah, no,
who do you think would do better?
Roode.
Again, it depends. Like, because Robert Roode, we got to see be the guy in TNA. Like, he was really given a chance to shine and prove himself. Eric Young is a former TNA World Champion. Like, people forget that.
Because of Daniel Bryan.
But he was never, exactly. Yeah. It was the exact Daniel Bryan thing. He is a guy that the machine of TNA never fully got behind.
Like Chris Sabin.
If they give him the chance to actually shine, I would bet everything that Eric Young is a guy who could carry a company.
If you could pick one, and I know we're going off topic, or we're going off script here, but it's unscripted.
Unscripted.
Yeah. If you could pick one guy to put in NXT right now, who would it be? Because I'm going to say Chris Sabin, just because I'm a huge Chris Sabin fan.
Oh my God. Could you imagine Motor City Machine Guns in that TNA, in that NXT tag team division?
Or in anything. Yeah. I just miss the Motor City Machine Guns
so much. I think I just have the soft spot for Eric Young.
Really?
I think
he deserves it.
He deserves it, and I'm just so convinced. And maybe I'm just blind, like I'm just fanboy blinded. But I just know that if he was given something that he could really, because everything they've given, he's made great.
Yeah.
So
Daniel Bryan.
You talk about turning chicken into chicken salad.
Yeah.
That is a guy who can do it. So if you actually give him something good to do, he's going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, agreed. Cesaro coming back April 15th in Amsterdam. I didn't know that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's
how long has he been out?
It's been a
November.
While. Yeah.
November, October in that ballpark.
That's one of those, he was listed for a house show, I think.
Oh, okay. So it could be, it could be not.
And I just, the way that I feel like what they're going to do is because, again, like, speaking of someone who grabs a brass ring, but it has to put it back.
Cesaro?
I am a little concerned that what they're going to end up doing is he's going to come back and he's going to be the leader of League of Nations, especially since we don't really know when Wade Barrett's contract is up.
There goes the script.
Or do we know when Wade Barrett's contract is up?
It's the next couple of months is all I know.
So, like, he could, you know, they could basically just Bullet Club Wade Barrett and have Cesaro come in.
Please don't mention Bullet Club around Dalton.
Because what I would love to see happen is they actually give him like vignettes and like let the Cesaro section know that he's returning.
Maybe let Cesaro come back as a conquering badass.
Right.
Which is what he is.
Exactly.
I don't know. You also had about Jeff Hardy donating his brain, which I think we talked about before.
I don't remember if we did him or, but because the way I looked
think
it
we
up,
said, why would you ever want Jeff Hardy's brain?
Okay. But also Lance Storm.
That's a better
forward.
One.
Yeah, Lance Storm came forward and said he was going to. So.
Yeah, that's one that, like, whenever we first mentioned Nash.
Yeah.
And I kind of made that comment. Lance Storm would be a good one.
Any wrestler that donates their brain is doing
well,
good.
And I
cause.
Think right now the list is, from recent memory, is Kevin Nash, Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy, Lance Storm, Mick Foley. And I want to say there was one more, but I can't remember who it was. I don't remember.
Lindsay said the other day that when I die, which will be soon, that she would have me cremated if that's what I want. And I said, no, I don't want to be cremated because what if they figure out a way to bring people back? Now I'm just a pile of ashes. Thanks a lot, Obama. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. But before we do, we actually had a couple comments on my Facebook page that I wanted to mention. But we talked so much, which is great. What's that?
Big week.
Yeah. Max Ritter's, when I complained about Raw, and I said we were going to talk about the disaster that was Raw. And Max Ritter said, Raw was amazing, and I'm pretty sure he's being sarcastic. My boy Rough Rider is going to WrestleMania, woo woo woo. Hopefully that's not sarcasm.
Which that's great. I'm super happy that Zack Ryder's actually going to get, like, a WrestleMania entrance.
Yeah. Well, God damn. If he's already in the ring somehow.
I really, or if that's the,
they've done that before.
That can't be the pre-show.
No, it has to be the, it almost has
it's
to be
the. It's KO-mania.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
It'll be Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
It'll be the Rumble. Or Aaron, Battle Royal.
Aaron Picard, he had two questions. Okay, three.
What?
One real quick. What's your name? Dalton. This one's probably going to be for you.
What's this one's name?
He wants to know, what is your immediate reaction to Nakamura versus Zayn?
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, my blood flow is redirected.
We're Stonehenge over here.
Yeah. He also asked, do you think last night's cancellation was another assassination attempt on you? Yes, I do. And here's why. My enemies, who are many, have been growing in power in the West, and that they will soon try to take me down. But you can rest assured that when the day comes and we all go up heaven's chimney, I will supply the magical s'mores and we'll all head up there together. So don't worry about that, Aaron.
So your enemies have a hand in your demise?
Spoiler alert. And this one's a better question. Which current active wrestlers would you cast as the Ninja Turtles? I wanted to answer this one.
Bobby Lashley.
No, he's a battle frog. Battle frog.
You're welcome.
You combat frogs.
Combat. Dang it. That was what I was going for.
Who would you cast as the Ninja Turtles? Just from WWE, we'll say.
Seth Rollins is Michelangelo.
No, he's not funny enough.
So we basically
you're right.
I just got it.
The shell.
Seth Rollins is Leonardo because he's the architect.
Well, it
he's the
have
leader
to be from the Shield.
I'm not saying it's from the Shield. I'm
Leonardo
just saying,
would clearly be John Cena.
But I want people that I like.
Characters that I like.
Wait your turn. Kane is Raphael because he's the moody and red.
Red. That's all you had to say.
Xavier Woods is Michelangelo.
I could see that.
Because, I mean,
Goofy.
Clearly. He's the Bard.
He'd also be Big E.
Really, the New Day is Michelangelo. The New Day is Michelangelo. And, who did I say for Donatello? I had one.
Oh, there's only one answer. Damien Sandow.
Oh,
the smartest man in wrestling.
Hideo Itami is Donatello.
Why?
Just
go with it. It's fine.
Sami Zayn's Michelangelo. Adrian Neville is Leonardo, and Kevin Owens is Raphael.
So a bunch of foreigners.
Yeah,
we see where your blood lies.
I agree with is Kevin Owens is Raphael. That one fits.
That does fit. That's a good one. Yeah. Allie?
Oh gosh.
Yeah, you said just add a fourth member to the Shield, and you can have the shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Killing me. You're literally killing me. I think Ryback as Raphael.
I was gonna say Dean Ambrose.
Wouldn't you have to have more than one thought Raphael to be Raphael?
I'm not gonna lie. I fully expected you to say Ryback as Donatello
just to make me come across this table. I still think Damian Sandow as Donatello is like
the greatest.
Is great, or maybe Damian Sandow would be Splinter. You know, because he's too smart. He's too smart.
Too smart.
I agree with New Day as Michelangelo, just as a triple threat.
Yeah.
They can freebird the Ninja Turtle.
I still think John Cena would be Leonardo, though, because he's that, like, unquestioned leader that no one really likes, but everyone kind of respects.
Undertaker. If you're going to say John Cena as the fearless leader that everyone respects.
That's hot. Who would be April O'Neil?
AJ Lee.
Sasha Banks.
Lana.
If we're going current, Sasha Banks, but AJ Lee is April O'Neil. Come at me, scrub. I'm jacked. Fight me, IRL.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we brought those back.
Oh, I meant Still Dalton. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Braden Walker.
Good night, everybody.